the Forged and Unbroken podcast.
Hey friends, you just have me today, so we're going to keep this one a little bit more short and to the point, but so much of what I'm trying to put out there is physical, mental wellness, and this part of today is going to be more on the physical side of things, and I'm also calling it Damn the Quick Fix. And the reason why I'm calling it that is because I'm seeing this trend in the fire service and in just the American culture that we find things that get us to an end state quicker without having to do the upfront investment side of the work. And so today is going to be geared a little bit more forward towards the guys, but ladies can definitely benefit from this information as well. There's going to be some small parts in here for you as well. But today we're going to be talking about testosterone production. And the trend that I'm seeing are guys that like, man, I'm feeling sluggish, I'm feeling a little off, or hey, I can feel like a teenager again, and I'm gonna get the pills, the jab, the paste, whatever, and I can boost my testosterone without having to do the work. And it's pretty alarming in my opinion. And so I just started digging through the research, so hopefully I can toss up some things for you. And listen, I know it's hard. I know it takes more work, but that's what's required of anything that we do in life, right? The things that are worth doing are going to take more work. So let me start breaking this down. I have it kind of broken down into physical and behavioral nutrition. So I'm going to start unpacking this, and I've got research to back it all up. If you're interested in any of the research, I have it on the Patreon for the Patreon members. There is a massive amount of links that I dug through. So if that's what you're interested in, you can check it out on there. But first and foremost, testosterone's a hormone, and it regulates growth and maintenance of your skeletal muscle, your bone, red blood cell production, so they can immunity, your sex drive, sperm production. So there's muscle mass, muscle recovery, energy and endurance, and even cognitive function. So when you have low testosterone, it's kind of the inverse of that, right? You have lower bone density, so you're more likely for the breaks from the slips, trips, and falls. Poor physical performance, you have your loss of muscle mass, increase in fat percentage, drop in libido, also sperm production. And what are normal levels? So for men, it's going to be 348-ish to 1200, and there's always a little bit of variance there, but basically the median, what you're looking for, is 600. So low is 350, upper end of normal is going to be in that 1200, 1000, somewhere in there. Women 18 to 49, and then as we age, that obviously just starts dropping off. Now for most men, that's peaking somewhere in your late 20s. It's kind of when you hit your prime, all the way up into your 30s, even your late 30s. And right around the late 30s is generally when we see it start to drop off. Now, we shouldn't be seeing these massive drops. It's generally only a 1% to 2% drop per year. Obviously, that's going to be lower amounts for women, but there shouldn't be this massive drop. And I think that's part of the problem that we're seeing is that the gents aren't doing the work that they should be doing, or they don't live and lead a lifestyle that helps support healthy testosterone production. So that's when we start seeing these bigger drops, and then we go looking for the quick fix. So let's start with some of the more physical attributes for testosterone production. First and foremost, just being overweight limits your testosterone production. So the more lean mass you have, that's also going to help support the production of it. Now, strength training and HIIT workouts produce more testosterone than just aerobic based workouts. So if you're just a high mileage, high volume endurance athlete, yes, you have leaner skeletal muscle. You're going to help testosterone production, but you're really talking about optimizing it. You're going to want the strength and the low rep, high weight type training. So exercise intensity and volume, the greater intensity and the volume of work, like lifting heavy weights with more sets, you're going to be more likely to increase the testosterone. The research is very clear on this, that strength exercises and HIIT are more likely to increase that than the endurance-based activities like cardio. Now, it's kind of broken down into three areas that I've seen is strength. So higher weight, lower rep, that just old school resistance training, high intensity interval training, CrossFit style training, raises testosterone. And then if you want to talk about cardio and aerobic based activities, interval training is going to be the other thing that is going to boost testosterone. For some people, fitness status can also impact how testosterone is going to be produced. And all I mean by that is, if you are already a fit athlete, your testosterone boost and spike post-workout are not going to be as great, but that's probably because your resting state is already higher. So people that are just starting their fitness journey, they're going to see bigger spikes in blood serum levels. And that's been shown during the research, but that's just because their resting state is lower. So when they get a better response on the back end of the workouts, so that's not a major red flag. Just something that's been noticed in the research. Now, there's been a lot of meta-analysis, one of which they combined 48 studies, 126 trials, like hundreds of patients. The mean age was right around 30, but that was like almost a decade swing in either direction. Basically, physical activity increased testosterone production by both serum and saliva samples, and it increased the most after moderate exercise and high-intensity exercise, but not so much after just mild physical activity. So again, strength training and high-intensity interval training give you the biggest boost in testosterone over just mild physical activity or obviously no activity at all. Now, something that we need to be mindful of is overtraining. I think if there's any bias in the fire service, men and women don't train enough physically, but there is a subset that is going to overtrain. Now, overtraining, some of the red flags, poor sleep, fatigue, muscle soreness that lasts a little bit longer than it should, loss in strength and mobility, plateauing in your strength. And then if you are doing blood work, high amounts of creatine kinase. Now, there are other things that can also raise that, but it is generally just a sign of inflammation and poor recovery. So moving on, let's see here. The biggest boost in testosterone obviously comes on the back end of a workout. And a lot of times it is going to drop to a lower level, but you're still getting the boost throughout the day. And that moderate and intense physical activity was the one that produced the greatest amount of testosterone production, more so over just aerobic based activity. Another 2016 study showed that resistance training with large muscle groups, starting with your big muscle groups like chest, glutes, things like that, and then you progress down to the smaller accessory muscle groups, produced also the largest testosterone response. And again, that just goes back to there are just a massive amount of studies and a body of research that shows strength training and HIIT training is like the juggernaut for boosting testosterone. For the ladies, if the base of your training is HIIT training, sometimes that can affect hormonal balance and even testosterone production for the ladies. So I think it is absolutely paramount to do for our profession, because that is the style of work that we do while on the fire ground and in really high risk situations. But if you're doing HIIT training 6 days a week, you might get on the back end of like adrenal fatigue or some hormonal imbalance where, okay, maybe I need to start the bias towards a little bit more strength and incorporate the HIIT training maybe 3 days a week. So there's more research coming out on that now. Switching gears a little bit, physical fitness, I think, is pretty obvious when we're talking about testosterone production. Let's talk about some other physical things that we can get into. Something really popular right now is cold immersion. I'm a big fan of it for a variety of reasons, but specifically when it comes to T production, the science is actually pretty conflicting. You can find research that suggests it can absolutely help testosterone production, and you can see things that it shows where it hurts it. I think if I were to sum it up, it really comes down to balance. And a lot of what I talk about is balance. So if you're somebody who's doing it 7 days a week, you might be shutting down the inflammation response too much. You might be putting your body under a little bit too much hardship. You know, I think the gold standard is 11 minutes per week. I think on the physical side, but also cognitive side, you know, 3-4 times a week. And again, if you culminate and accumulate 11 minutes per week, that's kind of the gold standard. And I think that's a healthy balance. There's also a good bit of research coming out of Whoop that shows that for the fitter athletes, less is actually more. You get more benefit by getting in just a couple cold plunges a week, whereas the more frequently you do it, and especially on the days that you train, those are the times when you actually might be having more of a setback with the cold immersion. So this could be a less is more. Something else I like to put out there is that if you are training and cold plunging, you got to wait at least 4 hours. A lot of people like slipping right in right after they train. You actually shut down the inflammation response a little bit too much and your recovery isn't as great. So if you can wait 4 hours, that's kind of the gold standard for post-workout cold immersion. So just hang out. Now, if you're doing like crazy weekend competitions and Spartan races and you need that acute shut off just to be able to keep working because you have a large body of work, a ton of volume, then yeah, sure, get in there. But if you're just talking about your standard training throughout the week, wait 4 hours or do it earlier on beforehand. Now, let's talk about sauna use. We've done cold. Let's switch gears to hot. A study conducted in 2017 found that men who used a sauna 4 times a week for 3 months had significantly higher levels of testosterone than those who did not use a sauna. There's another study that shows in 2002 out of Finland, Scandinavia is kind of the godfather of sauna use and sauna research. They found that men who used sauna 4 times a week for 3 months had significantly higher levels of testosterone than those who did not. And another one out of 2018 showed again another 4-time-a-week use had significantly higher levels of luteinizing hormone and follicle-stimulating hormone. And these are hormones that play an important role in producing testosterone itself. Now, there is a little bit of a mix of research again. That's kind of always the toss-up when you're diving deep into things. You can find some confirmation bias things. You can find things that support and also shut down what it is that you're looking for. So yeah, there are some things out there that would say that sauna use does not help or maybe even hurts testosterone production. But I think with the amount of research that's out there, especially out of really squared away Scandinavian countries, peer-reviewed research, that there are more healthy attributes for testosterone production with sauna use than there are downsides. I think there absolutely is a positive impact. Just summing up some general research, even outside of testosterone production, growth hormone, obviously important for repair and growth and muscle recovery and strength and stamina. 80 to 100 degrees Celsius, which comes out to 176 to 212 degrees Fahrenheit. If you do 4x30, so 30-minute sessions 4 times with a 5-minute break in between, and you just do that once a week, great increase in growth hormone. All-cause mortality. You want to talk about all-cause mortality in the fire service, just in general for the American population, there's a 40% drop in all-cause mortality. It's a study out of Scandinavia in 2015. 4 more times a week for 15 to 20 minutes, 176 to 212 degrees. 65% drop in dementia risk if you do it 15 to 20 minutes 4 or more times a week. Cardiac health, it was something, I think it's in the high 20s, drop in cardiac disease, it might be even more, by doing 15 to 20 minutes sessions. And I think a lot of that is because of heat shock proteins. Heat shock proteins are introduced during high intensity interval training as well as high heat environments, so sauna use. Heat shock proteins are different types, but basically they're introduced during that work and they support cardiac health. It's like your body's producing these natural vitamins that drop all-cause mortality, support cardiac health. There are some testosterone protocols for sauna use. Some of them are pretty intense. One of them I know was like 1 hour in the sauna, take 1 hour break or 1 or 2 break, go another 1 hour in the sauna for as long as you can tolerate, like near above 185 degrees. And that was, I believe, once a week. Crazy boost in testosterone, but again, that takes a lot of work and a lot of time. So, but overall, the benefits of sauna use are absolutely there, not just for testosterone production, but also recovery and cardiac health in general. Now, that was a lot of the physical side of that. Let's now get into nutrition. Now, here's my disclaimer. One, there's a difference between nutritionists and registered dietitians. Me, technically, with my certs, I'm a nutritionist, and I'm just supposed to follow like government guidelines, give basic general information. So you just have to take that for what it is. I've been doing this for a long time, and I do a ton of self-study, and I'm going just based off of research. But also, if you are somebody who's going to go down the nutrition route, talk to an RD, talk to a registered dietitian. You know, that's kind of my disclaimer. And not all RDs are created equal. Like, yes, they have a ton of schooling, a ton of certifications and clinicals. I've worked with a ton of them. They've been fantastic, and I've learned a lot. But it's interesting to see. It's just like any other profession. There is a lot of nuance and different belief systems just within the RD world. So just take that for what it is. Now, nutrition in general, let's just start with, like, sugary foods, right? So if you are somebody, you know, which is number one, who is a diabetic, that hurts testosterone production. Now, if you're somebody who is ingesting a lot of processed foods, refined simple grains and sugary foods, these absolutely crush testosterone levels. Also, frequent alcohol use. Now, some people are like, hey, listen, I sleep better. Yes, alcohol will bring on sleep faster, but the sleep quality drops big time. You don't get into your sleep stages as well. You're in them shorter, and that's when your brain and body's basically scrubbing itself. And poor recovery in the fire service is massive. You know, disrupted sleep, shift work is considered a group 2B carcinogen. So that is absolutely the fire service. Dementia risk goes up, diabetes goes up, muscle recovery goes up, hormone imbalance gets crazy. So again, testosterone production just plummets. So limit alcohol use. Whoop also has some really good information on this, that if you are somebody who just has one drink, you know, I'll have a drink socially with friends, sometimes I'll tie one on, just one drink can mess up sleep stages. And it can also mess it up for multiple days in a row. So it takes your body's multiple days to recover. So something to think about. It's been pretty evident in the research. Moving on to foods, like, it's really whole foods. So one of my original mentors said his diet is based around green vases. So think green, anything that comes from the ground. So fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. And then anything that has or had a face. So think any high quality animal product, seafood, eggs. These are fantastic in supporting testosterone production and health, especially dark leafy greens, things like that. Processed foods, refined grains, sugar, trans fats. If you have abnormally high level of omega-6, those are things that can hurt testosterone production. So think about the foods in the fire service, right? We're on the go, a lot of packaged foods, a lot of simple carbs, fast food, things that come in plastic wrappers. These are hurting testosterone production. So we need to get that the omega-3 and omega-6 back in balance. You need omega-6s, but it needs to be in balance with omega-3s. So, I mean, this is pretty straightforward. Whole nutrient-dense foods as much as you possibly can, right? Minimal processing. Now, going on to some of the other things that we may ingest. Nicotine, also big in the fire service, right? Now, there are some mixed I see some mixed things for the studies and its effect on testosterone, but if I were to sum it up, it seems like short-term nicotine use may increase testosterone. Now, I'm talking about like more the performance enhancing side. So if you're somebody who uses it minimally, or if it's just used like in conjunction with performance, like you're talking high-level athletes that might take a little bit before they go out on a run or whatever, yeah, that can boost testosterone. But the long-term use, you know, your daily users over time, that drops testosterone production. So long-term effects is associated with lower testosterone levels. It seems like from the research, it's likely due to the fact that it can damage testicles, sperm production, things like that. So it actually damages the testicles. It stimulates the release of adrenaline, which again, for shorter bouts for performance is good. Over the long term, though, if you're just constantly stimulating the release of adrenaline, That's where you start getting into adrenal fatigue and your body's just getting hijacked. So it's interfering with testosterone production and the metabolism of testosterone. Now, they found that by quitting smoking or quitting high-use nicotine, it actually increases testosterone levels on the back end as your body starts to heal and repair itself. So, yeah, there are some positive and negatives of nicotine use, but I think by and large, it's negative, right? Let's talk about supplements really quick. Same thing. These are all just general guidelines. Vet this with an RD or an MD, right? So I think first and foremost, if you are using a supplement that you have to cycle, my general opinion is that's a red flag. If you have to cycle on and off, kind of like steroid use, probably a red flag, probably something that shouldn't be used as like a daily driver, right? There are some things that can help support bodily systems, which in turn help testosterone production. One of the most widely used, widely researched things is creatine. Things like ginger, omega-3, ashwagandha, vitamin D, zinc, fenugreek. These are all supplements that have been shown to support healthy testosterone production. We're not talking crazy boosts, but it just helps support just overall health, which is going to support testosterone production. I know for me personally, I use 1 to 2 grams of omega-3, about 5,000 IUs of vitamin D, 5 grams of creatine daily, turmeric daily. These are things that I just use and have helped me. And this, it's backed by science and research. But again, if you are somebody who is taking the pill and the patch, like these are all things that are going to start shutting off natural testosterone production. So, and if these are things that are prescription grade, you know, talk with your doctor, talk with an RD. But again, if it's like a cycling type thing, probably a red flag. Switching gears to sleep. So it's kind of this inverse relationship, right? So if you have low testosterone, that affects sleep quality. And if you have bad sleep, that affects testosterone. So kind of it's kind of a chicken and an egg thing, right? If you had good testosterone levels, but because of sleep disruption with the fire service, or maybe you're a new parent and you're dealing with the kids, that generally drops testosterone. But then when you have low testosterone, that keeps you in a poor sleep state as well. So there's even some things that talks about steroid use. Hopefully that's not that big in the fire service, but I know there are subsets of firefighters who are somehow maybe abusing steroids, and that can also affect sleep duration, also libido, a bunch of other things. But basically, men with lower testosterone, you're more likely to experience lighter sleep, more fragmented sleep, more frequent awakenings, less time spent in the deep restorative sleep stages. They also showed higher rates of sleep disordered breathing, and even included moments where their breathing was paused, causing blood oxygen levels to dip. So there's this relationship between sleep quality and testosterone production. And again, it kind of depends on lifestyle, which one came first. But sleep and recovery is just paramount for the fire service because of our sleep disruption. And that affects everything that we do, from muscle recovery to diet and nutrition. I've had some talks where I talk about leptin and ghrelin, which are satiation hormones, which talks about why we may feel like we're craving and have sugar cravings and we're so hungry after a really rough shift at night. There's a whole body of research on that. So some sleep hygiene things, because this is probably one of the most important things for overall health, but also T production. Let's talk about sleep hygiene. Going back to sauna use, 20 to 30 minutes, 2 to 3 hours before bed, temperatures of 158 degrees on up, it actually improves sleep onset and increases time in your actual deep sleep stages. And again, that's when your brain and body's like scrubbing itself and doing the repair. Magnesium is fantastic for sleep. There are a ton of different types. I think the one that's cited most widely for sleep specifically is magnesium glycinate. But some people are really sensitive to certain types of magnesium, and there's a lot of different ones out there. So you might have to trial with it a little bit. Look into the research, see what you and your body tolerates well, right? Just natural herbal teas, chamomile, valerian, lavender. These have all shown to improve sleep quality. and just general sleep hygiene. Have normal, or try to, as consistent as possible, have routine rest and wake cycles. So try to go to bed around the same time, try to wake up around the same time. Super hard to do in the fire service, I get it. Create a bedtime routine, because it's actually telling your brain and body that, hey, it's time to start, to down-regulate. So hot showers, or again, hot environments before bed, because it actually drops your core temperature, brings on sleep better, calming music. Sometimes meditation, yoga nidra is a really good one. Yoga nidra is not moving around like you think a normal flow. It's kind of like a check in with your body, and you start working from like head to toe and start bringing awareness to the body to bring on sleep faster. It's been really great. Reading, eye masks, blackout shades. These are all things for, just helping sleep hygiene. Caffeine. I try to stay away from caffeine anytime after 2 p.m. I try to limit it to 400 milligrams. The fire service does really great in drinking a hell of a lot more than that. One of the other recommendations, try not to eat 2 hours before bed. If you eat large meals and then go straight to bed, just with your body, the way it has to digest food, it can mess with sleep. Non-THC CBD oil, I think, has been fantastic for sleep. If you can actually check out the sunset, you want to go hippie, go the hippie route, get some sun throughout the day, but then also watching the sun set, it's actually showing your body and really tapping into the natural circadian rhythms that, like, hey, the sun is setting, it's time to start shutting down our systems. And it helps with those rest-wake cycles. Also, no naps after 3 p.m. Any naps after 3 p.m. really starts messing with your body's ability to bring on sleep later in the day. So, man, let's see. Do I have anything else in here? Now, if you do all of these things, right, and your testosterone is still low, then yes, go seek help and go get some things figured out through an actual legit doctor. But what I'm finding is that if there are people who are eating well, they're sleeping well, they're getting in good workouts, they're using supplements just as needed, and they're high quality and they're minimal, generally speaking, your testosterone is completely fine. So even with crazy schedules and things that I've got going on, like, I'm smack dab in the middle of normal where I should be. Could it be higher? Sure. But I'm definitely not low. And I know I'm just a data point of one, but I see this a lot in the fire service. And again, we're so quick to go to the quick fix. I'm just asking you to do a little bit of that upfront investment work, because when you get on testosterone, your body stops naturally making it when you do supplement. And so what happens is, if you have to come off testosterone, whatever supplement you're using, you have to stop it gradually, and it can return to normal over time, which is a good thing. But I think what people also miss out on is that if they do stop, then what happens is you feel the slog come back on, right? The messed up sleep and the low energy and the low libido, like, oh man, I need to go back on this. So just some interesting things. When you do go on testosterone therapy, you do have an increased risk of heart attack and stroke, increased blood pressure, and increased blood clotting. Interesting study for an average of 22 months, men applied the gel testosterone to their skin daily. For half the men, it was just a placebo. And for the others, it contained enough testosterone to maintain hormone levels between 350 and 750. So again, right smack dab in the normal range. At the 3-year follow-up, the researchers found no difference in the rate of heart attack, strokes, or death from cardiovascular problems between the TRT and placebo groups. However, compared with men using the placebo, those using the TRT were more likely to have developed atrial fibrillation and a pulmonary embolism. So that's kind of a red flag, right? Prostate. There's also been some signs of enlarged prostate, increased risk of prostate cancer, but that's for men that have a history of prostate cancer already. So if you don't have a history, that wasn't really a thing. But if you had a history of it, then yes, there was an even more increased risk of that. Let's see. I'm going to see if I can say this right. Erythrocytosis, also known as polycythemia. It's a condition characterized by abnormally high concentration of red blood cells in the blood. So, and to actually treat that, there's bloodletting, there's medications, and obviously lifestyle changes. So that's just some things you have to worry about with the high concentration of red blood cells, more than normal. On the reproductive side of things, if you're supplementing, decreased sperm production, infertility, gynecomastia, I think I said that right. That's basically breast tissue enlargement. You start increasing your blood, or sorry, breast tissue in men. Metabolic, sometimes you can increase your body fat. Some people have reduced their muscle mass. And as we talked about before, there is an increased risk of sleep apnea. And I think these are for the people that are supplementing, but then are still not doing lifestyle changes like working out, like sleeping well, like eating high quality foods. They're really just doing the gel or the patches or the pills. And this is where they're starting to see like, well, why am I not feeling better? There's also acne, hair loss, mood changes have been a big one. In rare cases, there's liver damage. And obviously there are some allergic reactions that have been possible. But this is all with supplementation. So again, your body starts, or excuse me, stops producing it naturally because it's getting it from a synthetic source. And it takes time, and it's a gradual process when you come off of it to get back to normal levels. So again, get your testosterone levels checked. If you're in the normal range, then you're in the normal range, right? If you're on the low end of normal, start doing, yes, the hard work, sleep, nutrition, workouts, right? Talk to trainers, talk to RDs, talk to doctors, but be very wary of the quick fix. As with anything in life, that's exactly what it is. It's a quick fix. It's not meant for longevity. It's not meant for overall health. Yes, if your testosterone levels are low, absolutely get them checked. Absolutely get them fixed, especially if it's on the back end of doing all this other work. But generally speaking, I think if you are doing all the things that I've recommended, that's backed by a tremendous amount of research. Like I said, it'll be online on the Patreon if you're interested in any of those links. I mean, there's pages of them that I'll put up there. I really think that if you do those things, it's probably not going to be that big of an issue, and you're probably going to find yourself in the normal range of testosterone for men. So something to think about. I think it's just a good analogy for life. Do the hard work. It's the hard work for a reason, but it's going to be incredibly valuable. So damn the quick fix. If you have any comments, just drop them in there. Check out the Patreon. There's a lot of things on there, from weekly growth mindset episodes, daily workouts. So you want to talk about the nutrition and the health that supports healthy testosterone production. There's daily workouts, early access to the In Extremis Readiness podcast, as well as this podcast. There is a weekly mobility video for injury prevention, injury rehab, increased mobility and range of motion for better fire ground readiness. There's even a new series for meditation. That was one of my most widely asked things, if people can start doing some easily accessible meditation stuff. So that's going to be a series that's going to be on there now. There's just a tremendous amount of stuff on there, and $6 a month. So please like, share, subscribe, check it out. Hopefully you found this valuable. I know it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers, but I'm good with it. Damn the quick fix. Do the hard work. Appreciate everybody. Take care.